is the All Elite Wrap-Up for April 25th, 2024. Tom is over there. I am over here in a Jeff Jarrett shirt.
Why are you in it? Why are you wearing it? Why are you
wearing
it?
Because I lost. Tom was better at the picks than me for AEW Dynasty, which we went to live because we are ballers. Tom won, therefore I have to wear this shirt. Tom gave it to me. By the way, Tom, it smells, when you handed it to me, like two packs of ass. I need to make sure we set that out there right now. I washed it twice since it smelled like two packs of ass. But Dynasty was still fun, even though I lost the picks. You know, sometimes you got to let the underdog win once in a while, right? Keep story rolling, keep fans interested.
Time out. We've gone back and forth on that shirt.
I don't think
one of us have
like successfully defended. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I think it's been a hot potato. It's like the world championship in WCW in 2000.
Yeah. Theo P in the chat saying if he lived in KC, he'd make this show run in HD. I mean, yeah, give us some tips, some tricks. We're down to listen. Ash,
or
our
move.
Senior. Or move. Yeah, just move.
Move.
You could move. Yeah. Look, there's jobs out here, right? Somewhere. Yeah. Somebody's got them. Ash H., our senior European correspondent, is in the chat. I did thank him for being prompt with his correspondent duties, and he requested a raise. That's Tom's duty. Take it up with Tom. And, yeah, man, everybody should join us live in the chat. If you're a podcast listener and you don't know what you're missing, we like to talk about AEW with people live. So they join in the chat, and they just talk about it, right? We do this every Thursday night-ish at precisely 7:20-ish, right there on the dot. Nailed it every time. Tom, I am excited, man. Dynasty was a blast. We're going to talk a lot about that. We're going to talk about AEW Dynamite. I was going to say, what's Tom been up to? But I kind of know what Tom's been up to because we went to Dynasty together. So, AEW Dynamite. I mean, I don't know. Listen, look, Tom.
Got a little feedback.
Yeah, check feedback. Right here in the studio, right? Right here in the All Elite Wrap-Up studio. Theo says he would move, but there's no In-N-Outs and no Disneyland in KC. I mean, you know, we got Raytown. So
hey, Disney started here. If you want your next invention, probably
we
come
can
to
show
the place
you
where,
yeah. Where the mouse, where he got the idea, where the mouse was in his studio. And you know what? You'll agree. It looks like a place where a mouse would be in. So, Tom, I'm excited to talk about this, but, you know, we mentioned our senior European correspondent, and that reminds me that everybody listening or everybody watching later, you should join in live and chat with us. But if you can't, you can always send us something to aewrapup@gmail.com. And I mean something. You can type out an email. You can send us a video. You can send us some audio clips. And our senior European correspondent, being hot damn on the job this week, has sent us two clips here that we got to play. Tom, you ready for this?
Yeah, because you didn't send one last week, so, you know, double it up.
Catch up. That's right. Got to catch up.
All right. What's up, lads? Me. I'm still watching Dynasty. Like, it's taking me forever to get through this show, but whatever. Anyway, I'll just watch Ospreay and Bryan Danielson, and I have come to the conclusion that, in my opinion, that Bryan Danielson is the best bell-to-bell professional wrestler. If not of the turn of this century, then it's of all time. Because this might be biased just because, like, I've been watching his whole career. Well, not his whole career, but I've watched his career since maybe, like, 2006 until today, basically. And I haven't seen him phone it in. He's always put on a fucking great match. He's put on some of the best matches of all time. Me, personally, just a bit of bias. It might be biased, but I think he's the greatest of all time. So, yeah, that's basically it. Speaking of which, who do you guys think is the greatest of all time, and for whatever reason? And also, I'm jealous of you guys that you guys got to be there and I didn't, but I'm probably going to go to Wembley again this year, so... So, yeah, that was basically it. Also, T-Mac, do you think, like, that the MMA community are now just shitting on Justin Gaethje and that now everyone thinks he's washed because he got knocked out by Max? Because that's all I'm seeing on my timeline, and that pisses me off. And Tim, are you ready? Okay, bye, boys.
I guess we'll start with that one first. Are you ready? We'll knock that one out the park. Indeed, I am, of course. I mean, I was the greatest at that, Ash. Maybe that's a little inside thing that we won't dig too much into details. But I was the best, so Yeah. Sure. But back to, back to what he's talking about. Yeah. Right. Yeah. You're the only one you know of. yeah, man. First of all, going to Wembley. I'm pretty jealous of that. That'll be a fun one.
Well, hold on. What did he ask me about the MMA? I couldn't hear. He asked me Max something. Is he still in the chat?
He's still in the chat. He should, you know, I was writing myself some notes because I don't know much about the fisticuffs there.
Yeah, I just couldn't make out what he said because I couldn't hear it very well.
That's what I'm in there on the
that's
chat.
True. Yeah. If it was about Gaethje, though, or I did catch the part about our MMA fans mad. Yeah, it's taken a hard right turn since 2016. And that's why with every increasing event, I am like a sailboat drifting farther and farther away from the community because those fucking idiots are just that. Now, go into what you were saying because you started a little tangent there.
He said Brian Danielson is the best bell-to-bell wrestler of all time. You agree with that?
I don't know what that means.
Just match? Is that what that means? Like just in match, start the bell. You don't need anything else. This is what I'm going to take from that. You don't need anything else. You don't have to have a video package. You show up and turn on and say, watch this. That's what he's saying. Basically in match.
Yeah. No, I'm going to say no. I'm going to say Kurt Angle. And it's splitting hairs. I'm not trying to say like, it's drastically different one in compared to the other. I think both guys can do a lot of the same things, but there was just a believability. And obviously he was an Olympic gold medal wrestler, right? But there was just a believability of like, if shit got sideways, Kurt Angle will fuck you up. Like, you know what I mean? It's not like it's kind of a, when Kurt Angle would smack some people sometimes, you were like, wait a minute, that one seems like he didn't, work that in. And now Brian Danielson has the kicks, but that's a little different of a thing, right? The guy knows that he's going to get kicked. Now, Brian just might say, kicking you harder than you thought. But you get what I'm saying? It's like both guys can do similar things. And side note, we were talking about this actually during the Danielson Ospreay match when we were at Dynasty. Calf mutilation.
Yeah. Cattle mutilation. Yeah.
Or cattle. I don't know how that hurts. It's a silly move. you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, there's a lot of, and look, AW is rife with these folks who have things that are, the moves look cool, but if you were like, but would that hurt? Right. If you look at it too long, right. Mm-hmm. Look at it too long. You're kind of like, hey, wait a minute. Jeffrey Seals is in the chat. He says, what up, boys? Shout out to the best crew on YouTube. That's us, Tom. And, Jeff, look, since you're a Jeff, I got to.
There it is.
Look, Jeffrey.
There it is.
You and you, Jeffs. This itches, Tom. Every time I get this back from you, I watch it and it still itches. Tom, so Brian Danielson is a strong contender for, in match just because of his technical prowess, right? But if we're going to go ahead.
Is technical what we need? Is technical what we want?
Well, let me get there. So if we're removing just technical prowess, I'm going to throw a name in there that might get the internet a flutter. But what about somebody like a Triple H? I feel like you start a match with Triple H in it. If it's a big time WrestleMania or something, that match is telling a story. He's going to do okay wrestling, right? It's going to be hard hitting. Like there's names like that come to mind, right?
Yeah, because as I started to think on it a little bit more as we're starting this discussion, because if anyone isn't aware, I don't listen to Ash's clips ahead of time because I want it to be genuine in my response. But as I'm thinking about it, and I keep saying that as I get older, I get more and more appreciation for him. But a guy like Terry Funk, where I didn't know at any point that he knew it was a work. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah,
says something because I've never seen a Brian Danielson match. For as great as they are and the false finishes and the moves, never once did I think like, oh, I think Brian thinks this is an actual fight. You know how like current day Eddie Kingston, how sometimes we're like, no one tell Eddie that this is scripted because
scripted, right?
It would be worse because he's awesome right now.
Yeah.
So Yeah, I would go. I mean, even like a Stone Cold Steve Austin, right? It was just punches and kicks, but it told a story. It got you to point A to point B. And earlier in his career, before his neck injury, he could do all the, you know, arm drags and everything else that you wanted. So, yeah, as I'm thinking about it, kind of the big three, if you're a hip hop fan, the big three is a, you know, big topic of conversation right now. I would put it, for me, Terry Funk, Kurt Angle. Oh, I'm sorry, Shawn Michaels.
Shawn Michaels is a great one, though. Shawn Michaels is a great one.
Because he told a great story, too. His selling of the three that I mentioned, I don't know, Terry Funk's probably got him a little bit beat. But like modern day selling, you know, he did awesome at that.
Current day for me, another contender against Bryan Danielson. In that regard, if we're doing storytellers in ring, I'd throw in MJF. I mean, that dude, you start the match, and like he would, you know, again, he has this chanting for kangaroo kicks and double clotheslines, right? And you have 90,000 people losing their minds over that.
And he keeps you involved, because one match that I always think of that I think he needs to get more credit for is the Four Pillars match, when it was the main event and it was Jack Perry, Sammy Guevara, Darby Allin, and him.
That.
Well, he got you to pay attention a little bit more if the flips and fun stuff wasn't doing it for you, by screaming like the, oh shit, when he was about to get, you know, body slammed or something like that.
Yes.
Like that's another key detail to keep your attention, so that you're not just going, oh, it's a, you know, a backflip off top rope. I'll get it when I hear it. You know what I mean? But like when he says those things, it makes you look up, even if you may not be paying attention.
Theo says, Shawn Michaels is so great. Marty Jannetty jumped through the barbershop glass to get a pin for his autograph.
I mean, that's how I saw it, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Yeah.
That was on the dark side of the ring of Marty Jannetty. I think that's what he said on the dark side of the ring. Exactly. Was, hey guys, I know what you guys saw, but this is actually what happened.
Yeah, he went in for a hug, and I was like, hold on for a second, and I just jumped through the window, you know what I mean? Yeah, so, all right, man, let's play the second one from our European correspondent, yeah? Yeah.
What's up, boys? European correspondent is back. Hello, how you doing? I hope you're great. Jay White is not that guy, to me, in my opinion. I've watched this dude for about 10 years. I think he's one of the most bland wrestlers going. I think he's very boring, bell to bell. I don't think he has much of a character. I don't think he's much of a personality. I don't know what everyone sees in him, but I don't see it personally. I think I've watched this dude for about 10 years, and I couldn't tell you a single one-on-one match that I like from this guy. I think that shit show that he had with MJF time ago kind of proves that he's not a guy to lead the company bell to bell. I don't think he can put on a main event kind of style, a main event match that's actually compelling and worth watching. And I just don't understand it. Like, I try not to hate. Well, that's bullshit. That's a fucking lie. I do hate quite a bit. But this dude, I just don't see it. In my eyes, it takes a certain wrestler. It does a certain level of crap when you are in the ring with Kenny Omega, Hiroshi Tanahashi, Satoshi Kojima, Shibata, Rainmaker, Okada, yeah, I forgot his name for a sec. It takes a certain kind of wrestler to be in the ring one-on-one with all these dudes and have crap matches with them. And it's just like, at some point, he's going to get pushed toward the top, and I just won't see it, and I still don't see it. Like, are you guys seeing what I'm seeing? Because I know you guys aren't big on Jay White, but that's because of, like, the Bang Bang Gang and shit. But what do you really think of this guy as a singles wrestler? Because I think he sucks. Anyways, bye.
I mean, I'm not sold on... I've never been a Jay White guy, right? I've never been like, oh, I see what everybody's saying about him, right? I mean, look, he looks like he's never ate a carb, never smelled butter.
That's what you said when we were there. Yeah. Now, at Dynasty, one of the louder pops of the entire night...
Holy shit, was him that was when pinfall.
Jay White won,
fucking placed the roof lid off. Yeah, it was fucking crazy. Mm-hmm. People like this guy.
I feel
that
way.
What does the five mean? Can the chat answer us? Sorry, and then you can go on.
What five? What
the scratch marks on his, the, like...
The, oh, the, yeah, the I don't know.
The five, right. Yeah, whatever the hell that is. What is that?
I think the thing that I appreciate about him so far in AEW is he doesn't lack confidence. And what I mean by that is you put him in the spot and he will tell you 100%, this is where I should be, right? Like, when he was having that program with MJF, I don't think at any point he would have been like, I don't know what I'm doing here, guys. Like, I'm a little in over my head. Or he would have been like, hey, so what would be the next thing we should do? I think as far as that, he does a very good job of like believing him, right? Believing in yourself kind of thing. To Ash's point, matches to me are fine. And we're going to talk about a super popular instant classic that I'm kind of, we'll get to that in a second. So that kind of part doesn't make me want to watch you kind of. And I also don't understand the character, right? What is the Switchblade? I understand he runs a faction and they think that they should run the promotion. Okay. But so does everyone, right? So does, you know, Dalton Castle and the boys, like, you know what I mean? Like, so
does the EVPs.
Well, that's a different kind of thing, but, yeah, I appreciate that he looks and acts the part, but yeah, I don't have a lot bad to say about him. Right. Yeah. That's the thing is I wouldn't be like, hey guys, what the fuck? Another Jay White segment? Not at all. But I'm not saying, guys, it's been 2 weeks and we haven't seen Jay White on Dynamite. Like, I'm getting a little upset. Like, I just, even if he went back to New Japan, I'd just be like, oh, okay. All right. That's probably how I'd feel. Yeah. Honestly, you know?
Yeah, nothing's moved me about him enough, right? Like, I agree with you. Everything is at least B, right? B or better that we've seen, I think. So,
sure.
Good stuff.
But people love him. Maybe it's a Jeff Hardy thing.
Man, yeah, when he got that pinfall, I think I was the only one still left sitting, and I was like, oh, we're supposed to stand now, I guess. And it was so loud. Everybody was cheering.
They were pumped for that guy.
Love that guy.
So Jay White, you know, decent wrestler. But for me right now, and I've changed my opinion on multiple wrestlers throughout the years, but as standing right now, just a guy, you know? Just a guy.
Solid guy.
Yeah.
He's a dude. So that was our senior European correspondent, Ash Hendricks. You too could play along. Send us an audio clip, even a video clip, or a handwritten email, hand typed, whatever, to aewrapup@gmail.com. You can also find us on Threads, and you can look for all those kind of links at allelitewrapup.com. Right, Tom? I mean, we've had a blast this week. We went to AEW Dynasty in St. Louis. For anybody who doesn't know, we are from Kansas City, as you can see over Tom's left shoulder and both right shoulder, all over. Yeah, look at that. All those Super Bowl winning references, all of that there on your wall. That's so great. So we took the drive, right? We drove over there to St. Louis. It was just still Missouri. But, you know, it's almost a state away, right? It took us a good couple hours. We got there. We grabbed a bite to eat at a local establishment. And then we dropped some stuff off at the hotel. And we went to Dynasty, man. And it was a party. Almost when we walked in the door, yeah?
Yeah, it was very fun. I had a very enjoyable time. I thought the crowd atmosphere was very good. The only thing I did not like is the whoever started the "we're not worthy" chant. Shut the fuck up. That was stupid.
Paid a lot of money for these tickets.
Yeah.
Fucking hotel and stuff.
You know who I am? You motherfucker know who I am? Like,
yeah. Like, well, I mean, you know, they might not be worthy. That's why they were chanting it.
We weren't. Yeah, we definitely weren't. But the crowd atmosphere the entire time was fun.
I like that you inadvertently started the Taz chant that he didn't want started.
Yeah. What the fuck, Taz, man? What the fuck, buddy? I don't get how you didn't help out your son in that
For anybody
situation.
That missed that, I've got to tell the story. So if you caught the Taz chant, that started because in a moment of silence when it looked like Jericho was going to kill Hook, Tom, whose Taz was his favorite wrestler growing up, stood up and was like, Taz, help him. What are you doing? He was like pleading him for help. And he went, Taz. And the guy next to him was like, Taz. And then everybody just started chanting it. Tom, you even kind of felt bad when Taz was like waving everybody off. You were kind of like, I mean, I didn't mean to do that.
Yeah, I didn't mean, because if he wasn't supposed to be in the story, I felt like, well, shit. Which he kind of was, but not.
And that's what made everybody, if you notice, if you watch it back, everybody starts like applauding all of a sudden right when Jericho had just murdered Hook. And it almost looks like they're cheering Hook because you don't see Taz finally like standing up and throwing his stuff down. And we all thought, oh, he's finally going to help him. But he didn't, right? He just stood there all mad. So it looks weird back on TV, but it was a blast there, man. That and many other things that we're going to talk about throughout the night, but the energy in that place was great almost the whole night. Like, it was a blast.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. One thing that I noticed right from the jump that I can see being annoying moving forward going to AEW events. So, Ash, fair warning when you go to Wembley. People love to think that they started the Who's House chant.
Oh, man.
That was... Oh my goodness. And you know, wrestling fans want to be like, I started something. Like, okay. Oh,
but it continued until we got in the car and could no longer hear people. Like, the whole walk, Who's House? And people swear. I was like, guys, we get it. Yeah. It's over. We're all coming down now. Right? Like, we're all
coming
down.
Well, even when we got there, it was like, hey, we haven't even started the matches. We got another 5 hours here. Like, what the fuck are we doing? You know what I mean? So,
accurately, Ash here in the chat says, lol, wrestling fans.
Mm-hmm.
No, there was a lot of those. We ran into a lot of those wrestling fans.
Well, because at least with the Woo, you can just do it by yourself. And if I choose to ignore you, good. But if you do the Who's House and I kind of leave you alone, that makes me feel bad. Like, you're kind of don't have friends. You know what I mean?
So you were chanting at one point that you were like, nobody actually wants Thunder Rosa. You're like, nobody likes Thunder Rosa.
Yeah.
They were doing the like back and forth. And you're like, no, you all want Tony to win. Shut up.
Yeah. We all want Tony to win. Stop trying to act like we want this.
Yeah, like nobody. 50.
No one.
If all of a sudden Thunder Rosa wins this out of nowhere, we'd be like, wait a minute, what? Everybody would hate that. Shut up.
Everyone would have hated it. So yeah, I hated that. I did kind of stumble into one thing I wanted to see. As you mentioned, the Taz Jericho match is as I was pleading for Taz to just help his son, I realized he was not the father Hook needed. So then I started chanting for Christian Cage, and I wanted Christian to come out.
Yeah, you, as Taz was walking by, you were like, Christian would have helped like a real father. It's the best. And we were so close. I know he heard that. Like, I hope he didn't pop for that. It's just the best.
Oh, yeah.
I hope he told Christian the back, because he had to have heard that one. That was a blast.
That was fun. And then I started realizing, I was like, that's the heel move. If Hook acted like his dad was dead, even though it's right there calling the matches,
so
that'd be pretty funny.
So great.
But yeah, let's talk a little bit about last night's Dynamite. As we do, we'll cover what happened in Dynasty and then kind of give you our thoughts on the Dynasty match and obviously the Dynamite segment. And we're going to get right to it, because last night's Dynamite episode starts with a face we haven't seen in quite some time. Good old Jack Perry, front and center, right in your living room. He's looking down the camera. As he's looking at the camera, the Young Bucks and then Okada join, which is the now, I guess, new Elite, join him. Mm-hmm. And they try to get in. The security says, Jack, like, you're not, you know, you're not an employee here. And then the EVPs go, he's with us. It's fine. And then the security, you know, all right, we're not going to lose this battle. So they step aside. So let's talk a little bit about that. At Dynasty, we saw for the vacant AEW Tag Team Championships, FTR take on the EVPs. I ain't calling them Young Bucks anymore. The EVPs. What did you think of the match? And how'd you feel about Jack Perry showing up?
I felt like this was the peak of our high, right? Was the match and the zenith of this storyline hitting. I think this was our peak of the event, right? And because we were ramping up, I think they did a good job of like ramping us up, that the energy was high. And then, yeah, I mean, the match was going right. I mean, you know, bald FTR's bloody, right? We knew that was going to happen.
Always.
Right? Going back and forth, they're doing all the good stuff. Brutal, right? All the tables, all the stuff. And then, you know, we were like, we're two... second row back from like that little walkway between the floor and the ramps, right? Or the stairs, right? The stands. And so we saw that Jack Perry, right? Like, you point out, you're like, oh my God, right? And there he is with the mask. And it just said, like, it had to be him, right? The whole thing. So I'm literally shaking. I was like, this is going to happen now. And it all played out and it was great. I love the way they did that reveal, right? Where they hit the ring like they were security and placed him perfectly, right? And ripped the mask off. And then he's just there cheesing like that shit-eating grin. All done perfectly. Like, we shit on them a lot for missing the marks. Dynamite had a bad issue with audio last night. But man, there has been market improvement overall, and this is one of those that was like planned for, like, not just what's going to happen, but like the exact camera shot we need and where and when.
Yeah,
it was awesome.
Yeah, and it was good because I think if any run-in was going to happen, we needed a little bit of a, could it be this person? And there was no one else that night that wore a Sting mask except for Jack Perry. So as soon as you saw Jack Perry in a Sting mask, or a Sting mask as it is, that's it right there. That's the person. And so that was cool because, again, then it got everyone excited and it didn't really look like, maybe is this a real fan? Now, credit to them for acting like it was. And to your point, when they revealed it is Jack Perry, perfect, right? Even in the crowd, they showed that shot on the screens. With,
so yeah, everybody saw it.
Yeah, within the arena. So that was good too. I thought the EVPs winning the tag titles was the right move. I will say, though, I'm not sure what we can do with FTR in the short term, right?
Well, more to follow, I guess, throughout the night. But, like, we're floating around this idea of, are we going to have Elite versus AEW maybe?
Yeah.
You know, coming up. Mm-hmm. So maybe they're involved in that because that gives them purpose, right?
Yes. But, yeah, that
but
could
other
be.
Than that, I don't, yeah, post this, I don't know what to do.
Well, because, you know, if you think about it from their standpoint, they already went through, or they already went up against, I should say, House of Black, the Acclaimed.
I know.
What
do
you got?
It's this incoming. We just talked about it. They mentioned on Collision, AEW is going to bring in the Grizzled Young Veterans. The Grizzled Young Veterans could be all, we're here, you know what I mean, working the roads, doing the shtick, and FTR can be like, that's us, pal. That's us. And they'll be like, no, that was you. Now it's us, the Grizzled Young Veterans versus the Grizzled Old Veterans or whatever, right? They might be the same age. I don't know, right? And then, they get in a little mini feud for a while, and then they go.
Yeah, and I guess if you read more of the rumors, as we talked about last week, the point at your hand gun club, the machine gun, whatever they're called, I'm from right here. Those guys are coming in, so I guess FTR could work with them as well. So yeah, I guess there are some people, but as far as like the program that I want to see, we're kind of in neutral right now for them.
Yeah.
But as we jump back into Dynamite, we go right from the new Elite entering into the arena to Orange Cassidy walking out. And then Trent walks up. And then here comes Chuck Taylor. So in the kickoff show, for the kickoff show in AEW Dynasty, we had Trent pick up the victory over Matt Sydal, which good. And then we had Chuck and Shibata pick up the victory over Shane Taylor Promotions, even better for me. That's why Tim's wearing that shirt. There it is, Tim. Show it off. You love it. And after those two matches.
Hi, slap nuts.
Yeah, no shit. After that match, like that Trent said to Chuck Taylor, hey, it's time for you to pick a best friend.
Who is your best friend?
Right. And yeah, I mean, the way we got Orange Cassidy there, I guess the detail that I missed, which was important, but also kind of, you know, irrelevant, was Trent beat
his ass. Yeah.
Orange Cassidy into the ring. And as he's laying there, that's when Trent says to Chuck, all right, who you picking? And if you paid attention to Chuck since the dawn of AEW Dynamite, he's always wanted to say shit and he never has. He's like, oh, could I say shit now? Never has. Never. Finally pays it off by the breakup of the best friends when he said, Trent, I always knew you were a piece of shit. And so on Rampage, which will follow Collision Saturday night, we're going to get a parking lot fight between Trent and Chuck. Last time these two individuals were involved in a Jacksonville parking lot fight, it was against Santana and Ortiz, which was one of my favorite matches of all time.
We're getting Stu in this, right? I mean, Sue. Excuse me, not Stu. Sue.
Sue, potentially. Yeah. I mean, I hope she picks the right side. You know what I mean? You can't have everyone betray their child. Right. Yes. Billy Gunn betrayed the guns. You know what I'm saying?
No, but so, yeah. So she could at least pick up the pieces or be there, or like Trent can, you know, heal off on her or something. Yeah, I was a little, I thought we were going to go just with a heel best friends and then let Orange Cassidy be on his way. I thought that's the way we're going to go. I thought he was going to come out and be like, why the hell did you beat his ass? And then like put him in a fucking crippled crossface or something, right? Like maybe not that exact movie. You know what I mean? No, fuck it. Go with that. Yeah. But no, not the route they went. I guess this whole party is breaking up now, I guess.
You know, one thing that I'm interested to see if they do a callback to is when Trent turned on Orange Cassidy and then walked out on his mom and Chuck Taylor, we saw a backstage segment from later that night, and Chris Statlander was like, hey, Trent, what the fuck? And he whispers something into Statlander's ear, and she has no reaction to it. She's almost dumbfounded. I'm curious to know if we get a callback to that or it's revealed what was said.
Yeah.
See what happens there.
Notwithstanding what Trent said to Chuck when he was like, hey, we wasted all this time with this guy. He's like, remember we brought him in to be our mascot and somehow he turned us into his lackeys. Like, that's great stuff, man. That's great motivation stuff. That was good stuff.
Yeah. And I think who knows what Chuck's status is, because maybe the parking lot is to cover up some smoke and mirrors on what he can and can't do in the ring. But I think I would have preferred the best friends to go up against Orange Cassidy, because Orange Cassidy still has a friend in Shibata, right? You could do best friends versus Shibata and Orange Cassidy. And as we were talking about, as this looming Team AEW comes along, Orange Cassidy being picked for that seems like kind of a no-brainer in my eyes, but you can't have it if Chuck's also there. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, because now it's just, why aren't the best friends just Chuck and Orange Cassidy, and then Chris Statlander can once in a while hang around? Like, why wouldn't that just be the best friends now? Like, Trent's just gone. Yeah, it seems weird. There should have been a way to also, either they should have been the heel, or there should have just been a way for all three of them to be like, you know what? Fuck, I don't want to hang out with any of you.
Yeah. I still think we need tag teams, though. And I still will say the best friends, at least up to this point, were never tag team champions.
So especially if you have GYV coming in and Motor City Machine Guns, it sounds like you start having a tag team renaissance, and best friends would have been fine. Heel for a while, then back to Mayfield. Like, it all would have been fine.
And if you think about if this is the true like breakup of the best friends, you're going to tell me that you did Ricky Starks and Big Bill as your tag champs, but not best friends? And I'm not saying like at the time Big Bill and Ricky Starks sucked. Absolutely not. I'm just saying when you look at the lineage and history of AEW tag team wrestling, no LAX. You already fucked up Santana and Ortiz, and that was legit. And then
you fucked them up so bad they don't even talk to each other anymore.
Yeah, and then you don't do best friends. So
such a bad decision, you asshole! Look at what you did to Santana and Ortiz. Don't do this to the best friends. Now you're doing it to them.
All right, so then after we have what will be the upcoming match, the parking lot brawl between Trent and Chuck, we get Moxley cutting a quick promo that says, Powerhouse Hobbs, I'm going to kick your ass, as we know. And we start off our in-ring action with Kyle Fletcher challenging in a non-title match the new AEW heavyweight champion.
That's a world title eliminator match, Tom.
Eh, whatever. Swerve Strickland. Look at there. Got him with the belt already. What's up?
What's
up? Swerve Strickland. So
whose house?
Stop it. We had Swerve Strickland defeat Samoa Joe in our main event at AEW Dynasty. Kind of a quicker match than I anticipated. And didn't feel like, as we went into Dynamite, anyone actually mentioning Samoa Joe. So what do you make of that whole Joe lost title and bye-bye, never again, see ya. Like, or what's happening?
Yeah, it's interesting. He was not around, but that's fine. I mean, sometimes, you know, you take a while to come back after a big loss.
But I feel like they didn't even say his name.
I think they didn't say his name. And I we like to talk about what we see on screen and break down the storylines and stuff. I have seen some rumblings that perhaps his contract is ending and maybe he's not re-signing. And so maybe this was, you know what I mean, the last thing to do for them on the way out, perhaps. And now they're
bullshit. Like, you stay, Joe. Don't you go back so. To.
I mean, but he may like trips, right?
No, you don't. You don't.
Yeah, well, it's not for us to say, apparently. Now, I could be wrong. And again, it's online. Who the fuck knows? It wasn't one of the normal guys who are, you know, it wasn't the Saps, the Meltzers, any of those either. So, like, who knows? Look, I think, you know, Swerve 1, that was a high. The match itself at Dynasty, I think, you know, we had been hit with two back-to-back big-time matches, right, in the Danielson Ospreay and the FTR Young Bucks. I think we did feel a little like during the match, I think we were all winded a little bit. So it felt a little lullish, right? But I think it ramped up with the victory, right? We all got what we wanted there. And I think bleeding over into this thing. Yeah, man, look, I understand Kyle Fletcher is athletic, right? I understand everybody thinks he's a big rising star and he may be to some extent, right? And someday, but right now it's another one of those where, like Ash was talking about with Jay White, I'm like, I don't see it there where this should have been. You know, the thing. I get, like, let's put him in a match with a young guy who he should beat, but who knows, right? But this didn't feel like the guy. I don't feel the X factor charisma with a Fletcher.
I don't either. However, I think this served a bigger purpose because Swerve Strickland gets the victory also on Dynamite as his first, you know, foray as champion of AEW. I think this served a purpose of getting Kyle Fletcher away from Don Callis, because if we fast forward through the show a little bit, Don Callis said, "Hey, Ospreay, you know, you got this match. We're going to, you know, you came off the best match there is." Kyle Fletcher, he lost. We don't care about that though. Powerhouse Hobbs, he's about to win a title. So, and he kind of just shooed Fletcher away to where it ended with Ospreay and Fletcher kind of looking at each other like, "Hey, what the fuck was that about?" Yep. Now, if you recall, because we were in Kansas City when this happened, when the Aussie Open and Will Ospreay made their AEW debut, it was here in Kansas City, and they're together, right? They're the whatever this hand signal is. I'll just do this. Look at this. It is. Look at that. Doesn't happen when they do it. And so maybe that's what we're doing, is Ospreay breaks away from Don Callis, but then gets his United Nations or whatever the group is.
But does Fletcher also, we're just going to get Don Callis with Powerhouse Hobbs? That's what I would like.
And Takeshita.
Oh, yeah, and Takeshita. But again, that's fine. So they can team up when needed, but they're also singles and he can kind of divert his attention. And
yes. There you go. I would like that. Yeah, that would focus in on Don Callis's efforts and then also, get rid of some of the, not dead weight, but, you know, excess to the Don Callis. Guys. Yeah. Well, Ospreay is going to be taken over.
Ospreay
the whole world.
But Ospreay's already, I feel like I'm like, he's already not a part of this group. Man.
Yeah, it feels that way. We just got to get through the motions of it. So Swerve Strickland wins, and then we go backstage. Thunder Rose is talking, and she's saying, "Hey, happy with my effort at Dynasty. Didn't go my way." And then Deonna Purrazzo and her, I even wrote down, I don't know exactly what happened, but they started pushing each other. So I guess we're doing Thunder Rosa, Deonna Purrazzo.
So I guess because she came out at Dynasty, and I guess leading up to that, there was some of this where Thunder Rosa was telling Deonna Purrazzo she didn't need her help, right? Like, I don't need your help, but she tried to help her anyway, and, you know, not that that helped, as it were. So now she's probably – that's a good way to keep her from going back after Toni Storm, her being Thunder Rosa. Now she can be like, "I told you to leave me the fuck alone."
Yeah. So it looks like we're going to get those two paired off. As mentioned, Thunder Rosa – was happy with her effort, but came up on the losing end at Dynasty against Toni Storm. Toni Storm, still your AEW Women's Champion, as she should be.
I agree.
Right?
She's so great. By the way, we didn't touch on this necessarily. We kind of blew by it. I mean, Swerve did win the AEW World Championship. What are your thoughts?
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Like I said, I was advocating for it. I think we also kind of knew that's why we blew past it a little bit quicker than normal, is it wasn't a shock,
it was
right?
Time.
Samoa Joe beating MJF was a little bit more of a shocking moment than Swerve beating Joe. I think there's a ton of fun stories we could tell with Swerve as champion. I am, again, a huge advocate of diversity and representation mattering. So if you look at the eight champions, He looks different. Now, so does Samoa Joe, but you know what I'm saying? Those two look different than everyone prior to them. So I'm happy about that. He was already doing morning shows and all the fun stuff in, I believe, the Jacksonville area. So that was good to see that they're already pushing him into some of the connections that they have.
He's got a hopefully sneaker line coming out.
Yeah, like, it's got his own signature shoe coming, apparently.
Here's what's great about
it. He's a star.
First wrestler to get a shoe, which is insane because WWE, the king of marketing, has never done this. But here's why that's great, because if they would have done that, it would have been terrible, right? It would have had a WWE logo slapped on it somewhere, right? Mm-hmm. Big and obnoxious. And yeah, it just would have been like very uber themed. That specific character probably would have put their face on it. Like, it just would have been terrible.
Now, they've both done themed shoes. So, for example, right, upstairs, I have a pair of Penta themed, I think they're Asics,
right,
that I have. And then like Puma's done stuff with WWE to where you get the Ric Flair insole, right, and stuff. Now, like
this
that
is,
but
like
yes,
his, like this is his shoe. Shoe, and it's like an actual shoe. It doesn't have like his, right, face on it. Does say Swerve on the tongue, but yeah.
In other sneaker news though, did you see that the Jordan brand signed Roman Reigns as an athlete ambassador? So we may be seeing some Jordan
maybe
ones.
We will, yeah, we'll see them. Those Romans, right? Get them new Romans.
Be crazy. If Jordan Roman did ones. WWE shows, yeah. If they did some WWE shoes, that's a major deal. No offense to Swerve, but that's dwarfing you.
Yeah.
But again, it's a step in the right direction, right? None of the other guys were having that capability.
No, this doesn't look
do.
Like it was an AEW deal either. This was Swerve.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Swerve
so,
is. Yeah.
I am over the moon as Swerve being the AEW champion. I do not want him to lose it in however many weeks in Wembley. I get it.
I don't think
want the Ospreay.
Nah. I think he's going to go for the international. I think he's going to.
Who?
Or not. Who's is it, the Continental or something? I'm forgetting.
Well, that's going to be a double or nothing.
What's the one? Oh, yeah, the double or nothing. Yeah, so maybe he just wins that. And then now he's that champion for a little bit.
I hope so. That would be my hope. Right. But we shall see. All right.
Because then he's the international champion. Then we put him on Wembley as the international champion. Somebody maybe from over there that they all love is trying to win it, and he beats him down.
Well, and one thing that you can do, especially with how the format of AEW shows can be, is say he is the international champion. You could still have that be the main event and have Swerve kick off the pay-per-view. You know what I mean? So you could play around
with
some things.
That's what I mean. Especially if it's somebody over there who has a tie over there. Because sometimes on these joint shows, they'll do that where it's not necessarily the main storyline that person's in. They're just facing a dream match style thing. You could set that up easily with him as the international champion against some other British star that everybody loves over there, and then
Kenny Omega
Kenny Omega
like
or something. Yeah, exactly. Right. Yep.
All right, so let's get back on track here. So yeah, Thunder Rosa, Deanna Purrazzo, they have
Jinder
a
Mahal.
Match. All right. And then we
that would actually be pretty neat if it was Jinder Mahal all of a sudden out of nowhere.
It would not be cool. Yeah. It would not be cool.
He's at Wimbledon. He's like, open challenge. We need a Jinder Mahal run one time in AEW so we get a gender equality run. He needs to advocate for gender equality.
You can do that outside of AEW, but have him and Matt Cardona come up with that. Yeah,
there we go.
Yeah, there you go. Do that shit. But we get a look on AEW Dynamite of the Bryan Danielson Will Ospreay match. So I guess this would be the perfect time to discuss our reaction to actually being there, watching the match. And then Will Ospreay won this match. What do you think about that as well? So, Tim, the floor is yours to start.
I thought the match was very good. I thought there were definitely moments where we both looked at each other and were like, God damn, right? Like there was hard spots. There was very acrobatic, feats of stuff that like we couldn't do ever in our life, right? So we were very impressed. The crowd was very hype. All of that checked all the boxes. We didn't see many mistakes going on in the match or anything like that. So, we're not of the type that are like, we're the moves don't matter type, right? So I don't think either of us are placing this in the greatest of all time conversation, right? As some folks are. Greatest of this year, perhaps, right? Like we can discuss that, I think. It's early, obviously. I thought it was fine. The ending to me was a bit odd, right? In the overselling of this concussion where he went all Tua type,
Tua
fingers on us. Like, I mean, look, yeah, there's a reason you're not a star actor as well, Bryan Danielson, right? But I get what we're trying to, It is weird because we led this into Dynamite, where Will Ospreay's afraid to use that move now, So which interesting.
It's fine. Yeah, I like that. If we're going to say this is going to carry on after this match,
it's gonna hurt him sometime. Hate it. He's going to lose a match because of that, right?
Right. And then, or someone's going to pull the devil out of him and he's going to do it on them because they deserve it, or, you know, whatever it may be. So if we're going to use it moving forward, like you said, Bryan Danielson isn't the greatest actor in the world, but okay, cool. We'll move forward. To me, it was a very good match, but similar to Swerve and Joe, for me, I knew Ospreay was going to win from the second the bell rang. Mm-hmm. So I can't, and this is again, my flavor of wrestling, I can't 100% get into the match if I kind of already know what's going to happen.
I will say this. We talked about one of the loudest pops of the night was Jay White getting the pinfall. The loudest pop of the night was when Ospreay lost his shit right before that match started and just started fucking screaming at the crowd. That whole place went nuts, man. That it was shaking at that moment.
I ruined someone's seat in front of me. Motherfucker decided to put a Coke there and I banged it on accident, which dork. But yeah, I just, because I knew that Will Ospreay was going to win, I don't know. Right now, the way they tried to do that Marvel cinema where it's like Captain America versus Iron Man, we're squaring off in the corners. I could use less of that, right?
That feels very WWE to me, right? Where we got to get the pose.
Yeah.
And now we fight. And I'm like, I can miss me with that.
Yeah. That was a little, let me watch an action movie. I'm watching pro wrestling. And I get it. It's action as well.
Yeah, the run up and the. Yeah, now we fight.
Yeah, because you could pause it right before the elbow was hit, and they just do the Rocky thing, right?
Right, exactly.
Rocky and Apollo, right? So yeah, it was fantastic, fantastic. Love it, love it, love it. Awesome. I would show that to a non-wrestling fan, be like, hey, these are two of the all-time greats.
I told my boss. I said, people are saying this might be one of the greatest matches of all time. Certainly one of the best of the year. Watch it. He was like, all right.
Yeah, and if I would not be opposed to anyone.
He's not a Will Ospreay guy.
But I would not be opposed to anyone watching that match as like a representation of wrestling. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I will say, for me, my favorite AEW match, because that made me start to think, you know, of the top 20 rated AEW matches in CageNet, whatever that's called, the cage one that match. Uses all the cagematch.net or whatever, you know,
cage fight
of the
pro fight
of the top 20. We've seen four of them in person. We've seen four of the top 20 in person. And
because we're ballers. Because we're ballers.
Yes, exactly. Yes, I would say, I think I prefer the 30 minute Iron Man match between Pac and Kenny Omega a little bit more, just because, again, I didn't know who was going to win going into it.
Yep.
And
that MJF Iron Man match is hot shit. I mean, we weren't in person for that one, but
yeah, because the four that we've seen was Pac versus Kenny Omega, 30 minute Iron Man, Ospreay, Bryan Danielson, the Elite versus Hangman and, the Dark Order. Mm-hmm. And then now it's, of course, it's leaving my brain right now. There's a fourth one that we saw as well. And I had to look it up later, but, it's not even my favorite match that I've seen in person, but again, if you love it and your thing, awesome, 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 awesome. Great. Cause some people love the origin story of superhero movies. And we all know that superhero is going to fucking win at the end. So, you know, to each their own. Let's get back on track. As we talk about Dynamite that happened last night, we get, where am I at on my notes here? We get in-ring action. It's Mina Shirakawa. I think I actually did nail that. Mina Shirakawa versus Anna Jay in a one-on-one match. Mina gets the victory because Mariah May offers a distraction. Anna Jay says, this is bullshit. She attacks both of them, which brings out our AEW Women's Champion, Toni Storm. Now, Let's break that down a little bit. Tony Storm runs to the rescue of Mariah May, and we get a little bit of this over-loving of Mariah May from Tony Storm.
Yeah.
All the while, she is, you know, confessing her love, apparently, more than she ever has in the past. Her title's up at the entrance, and who comes out but the professor, Serena Deeb. She grabs that title and does a, doesn't this look good with me? So what do you make of the whole segment, the match, the post-match, all of it? What do you think?
Every time I see Toni Storm, she gets better with everything she does. She is always delivering home runs. So I love anything with Toni Storm. And then you tell me Serena Deeb comes out. I mean, I'm marking out hard. Like, I was like, all right, this is getting ready to get good. I even like Deeb being like, I'm not going to, like, do the cliche of holding this thing up. Like, I'm just going to guarantee I'm getting it next. Mm-hmm. Love it. Love it. Love it.
And you also have the underlying custody battle, for lack of a better term, between Mina and Toni Storm. So what do you think about the fight for the love of Mariah
May? That is
May?
Awesome,
what do
right? We make yeah. Of? Yeah, that's it. I know we had to kind of rush introducing the other, you know, the third of this triangle, but I love it, right? I love that we have it now and where it's going to go. Because again, Toni Storm is so awesome, and we just keep finding things to do with her that aren't even just like, and now I'm kicking another person's ass for the title. Mm-hmm. Omega Vikingo is the one, I think. Jeffrey.
Yes, Sayer. That was it. Yes, the 650. Yes, yeah. Right in front of us. Remember?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, he did the thing. Yeah, we could have reached out and slapped his ass on the way to. You tried.
Who says I didn't?
But... Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yes, that was the fourth one that we saw. So, I really enjoy, because it's so interesting what we could do with Toni Storm, because you could have her lose the title to Serena Deeb, who is a worthy champion, but still keep a storyline interest in Toni Storm by having this love triangle.
And Serena
thing
Deeb
with Mina
is a great one
Mariah
to now transfer on to somebody else, right? It could be an established person or an uprising person for mm-hmm. Serena Deeb to lose that to eventually, right? And she doesn't need to have a long one because, you know what I mean? It's Serena Deeb. She's not been around on your screens forever, so she can just have a couple month run, right? You don't have to do this like crazy, crazy long thing. And then you have whomever else is ready to take the reins after that.
And, you know, we were just talking about Samoa Joe. She could fill that role where, you know, MJF had this big transformative title reign, loses Samoa Joe, we get it to the next person. So it's transitional. But again, Samoa Joe, champion or not, is still going to be an all-time great. Serena Deeb, champion or not, is still going to be one of the best.
Jeffrey Sills is pointing out something that, yes, we have to talk about. Toni Storm's promo on Collision was fucking fire as fuck. Oh,
bosom.
My God.
Bosom.
Her saying
Mariah you know May, I mean? Mariah May for her acting skills, just to stare up and just be like, yes, mother.
Oh, that one. I thought he was talking about the one prior to Dynasty about
with the makeup.
Yeah, where she was like, you said you want to drag me to hell. She's like, maybe you don't know where the address is, but hell resides in my bedroom. I make love to my demons each and every night. Like, good Lord. And then what she said, she was like, and if that's too much for you to handle, you can just sit there and watch. God damn, unhinged greatness. I told my wife about this and she was disturbed. She was like, what the fuck is that? It was great. Loved that.
Yes.
Toni Storm is the fucking best.
Yeah. And one other thing to continue that. So yes, I got my shows mixed up. Yes. After the Collision with the lipstick all
yours
over,
was awesome too. I forgot that one too.
Yeah, last night though, bosom. God. Right, that was awesome. But even more so, the post-match scrum where she said Nicole Garcia was afraid. She knows she couldn't handle a pussy-scented candle to my wrestling ability.
God, she's so great. Yeah, what did she say to Thunder Rosa in that one thing where she was like, if you wanted to keep uplifting women, you should have stayed a social worker.
Yes.
So great.
She said she's the MVP of pro wrestling. And you know, if you start saying, I'm gonna just show you everything, right? Because obviously
the best characters in pro wrestling right now, list them,
right. Well, and because you know, certain things get pushed to your attention, right? We gotta make sure that this is focused for 13 minutes instead of two. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? All that kind of stuff. Or something gets put in the post-match scrum, not on television, right? But if I were to just say, beat for beat, this is what this wrestler did, this is what this wrestler did, and this is what the next wrestler did, I would have a hard time saying,
yeah,
stop showing me Toni Storm. Look, you know what I mean?
This is like, I mean, she's like somebody leading the league in on-base percentage right now. You know what I mean? Where it's like every time she goes up there, she's doing something with that, you know what I mean? With that ball. Like she's, you know what I mean? Delivering you something that was beneficial every time.
Yeah.
Nothing fails. Nothing's like, we're never like, yeah, it was kind of meh. We've done that with MJF even, right? Where we're like, yeah, it was kind of lame, but you know.
Or just you've said the same thing, right? Okay, this city sucks too. Yeah. Okay, right.
Never with Toni Storm. Never. If you give her a live mic for 5 minutes, you were entertained for seven of them. Fucking Christ, she's so good.
And her matches are really good too. When we saw the Thunder Rosa match, it was not a get up and go kind of thing. Right. It was a let's see what happens here.
Oh, even that was a good match.
Even though we knew Toni Storm was going to win too, right? Okay, so let's go to the next segment, which is a celebration. Stokely Hathaway, Chris Statlander are
Big
in
Stoke.
The are in the ring, and they want to celebrate the newly crowned TBS champion, Willow Nightingale, because at AEW Dynasty, Willow beat Julia Hart for that championship in a pretty quick match. Now, I don't know, maybe someone was hurt or someone didn't want to wrestle that long. I don't know what happened, but it was a quicker match.
Yeah.
Which is sometimes good. Sometimes good, right? We don't all need to be 20 minutes. So I'll say that.
True.
But you know?
We'll talk about that more. Yeah.
And so Willow Nightingale's out here, and she's talking about how she remembers that she was in the crowd as part of the fans during COVID in 2020. Fast forward to 2022, she gets a graphic of being All Elite, and now let's talk about today. She's the TBS champion. So before we get into the turd and the punch bowl, what did you think of this first half of Stokely, Statlander, Willow?
Well, so her winning, I was a little miffed because I missed it. Remember, because the match was so quick that it started. Mm-hmm. And we thought, oh, I'll have time to run up. I think I was running the bathroom and grabbing a drink or something. And I was like, I'll have time to do all that and catch the end of it and catch her win. And I got to the bathroom, and then I hit the line, and I heard, and ding, ding, ding. And I was like, son of a... And they didn't have screens out there showing anything. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, man. So I had to hear all that. So I was a little miffed about that. But last night, this was fine. Again, we obviously set this up for Mercedes Moné to interrupt it. But, like, I wish we would have got a little more wild with this, right? Like, when I heard we were going to have a celebration, Stokely Hathaway was kind of leading it. Like, man, I thought we were going to get, like, a This Is Your Life kind of segment. You know what I mean? Out of Stokely. But we didn't quite get that. We got more setup for Mercedes Moné.
Well, yes. And I think we are supposed to have this reaction now. Though, God dang it, really? She's just good. I think we're starting to say this is what we want the reaction to be for her. Now,
yeah,
where I wanted more of is, again, her doing that wasn't surprising and okay, because you got to get from point A to point B sometimes, so it makes sense. We only got one good one-liner from Stokely Hathaway, and I wanted more of that, where he said after Chris Statlander does her sing rhyme thing for Willow Nightingale, Stokely Hathaway says, with all due disrespect, that was two packs of ass.
Yeah, the with all due disrespect is what I got to throw in.
Yeah, that was really good. And I was hoping more of that, because again, we kind of knew where it was going to go. So give me more of the one-liners. And again, you gave me one, which a lot of promos give me zero. So, you know, I'm being a little bit more selfish. But
Jeffrey Sills shows, he says, why does Willow know how to cut a better promo than Mercedes? Because, yeah. Now, I'll say this. The Mercedes promo, out of all the promos she's given us, this was one of the better ones. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't think it was terrible. You did get a little bit of the, well, I'm here, right? Like this, like where you're not talking in conversational flow, but she picked that up a little bit, right? Then it became a little more
there
real.
There was a little bit of a switch where she was like, well, then I'm just going to beat you. And then you're like, okay, so this is a real person talking.
Right.
But to the point, Willow cuts a great promo. I also think Willow in that instance, specifically last night, wasn't necessarily having to like remember bullet points. It was just tell your story. Well, fuck, I can talk about me for as long as you need.
She was very passionate of it because of it. So yeah.
Right.
But yeah, like her response, like in the end of like, and when she got up in her face, like that stuff was good. It was a little herself. It was a little, again, because you could tell she's been practicing waiting to say it, right? So it had a little bit of that too, where it was like rushing it a little bit, right? But it was damn good and definitely better than I think anything Mercedes has given us.
And I'm starting to like the angle that they're going to take here. Now, there's one little detail I'll ask your opinion on, but as far as the angle, I'm interested in, because it's the Willow beat Mercedes for the New Japan title. So I don't know why everyone was talking about Mercedes, but Mercedes was like, you know, the only reason you beat me is because I broke my ankle or whatever it was. And at 100%, you can't beat me. And you started to see a little doubt behind Willow's eyes.
Right.
So that's the angle of the champion self-doubt and the challenger on the, you know, push to the moon.
Yeah.
I like that
Willow acknowledged it. She's like, you don't think I didn't think of that? And she was like, but also that was that title. That's not this one. That's not what happened for this, right? Like, so, bitch, bring it, right? Like, here we are again. Yeah, loved it.
So, I want to get your opinion on this, because I think maybe there's a little bit more to it than what meets the eye. So, they get in each other's face. Mercedes Moné turns her back to leave. Chris Statlander grabs Mercedes. Mercedes, thinking she's about to get punked out, turns, reacts, slaps the taste out of Willow's mouth, and it's a pull apart. So, Tim, do you think Statlander was just grabbing her because she had something to say? Was she going to stir some shit? Did Stokely tell her to grab Mercedes Moné? Do you think there's any smoke to what I'm alleging here with Chris Statlander's actions?
Yeah, I mean, I think there could be. I think the better story we tell there is, right, is, man, I want Stokely to turn, right, and be speaking for Mercedes Moné. I think that becomes a much better act and a big star, you know, bigger star that she's doing than what she's doing now. So, but can we use Chris Statlander to get us there? Like, is she going to be part of that? Or, like, I don't know. This is... I don't know what we're doing here with this. You know what I mean? Like, it feels weird. It's a weird mix. I like it. I like it because of that, right? I don't quite know what's going on here. I don't know which angle they're going to go with this. Like, is this going to be, yeah, I don't know. Is Statlander and Willow jealousy at each other? Is this, you know what I mean? Is this Stokely trying to fuck people around? What's going on here?
If I had the pin, again, let me, you know, show you what I'm doing here. I think what I would do is have Stokely playing Statlander. Because as we started this whole promo, it was acknowledged that Willow and Stokely did not like each other at all, and now they're best friends, right? So maybe still at the very, you know, genesis of this relationship, Stokely actually doesn't like Willow. You know what I mean? And he couldn't do this all by his own, because then Statlander would get pissed at him. And then he's out all on his own. So if he could start to stir the shit through Statlander, Statlander then gets screwed over. Willow loses her title. And as we kind of mentioned, you know, we get better promos because now Stokely is talking for Mercedes. So that would be like how I would do it. But also it just could be Statlander's jealous of Willow, and so she's going to stir the shit that way. Because Mercedes also brought up, hey, who attacked me? And Stokely was pretty quick to say, like, we all know it's Julia Hart. Like, we all know it's Julia Hart. Let's move on. I don't know. Was it Statlander? Was it Stokely?
Yeah, that was a good one they brought up there too, right? It was like everybody had somebody else that it was supposed to be almost Clue-like, right? Like, I like that Stokely jumped in and he's like, no, it was clearly Julia Hart, right? Was it Stokely this whole time? Yeah, I think. I don't know. That's an interesting.
Yeah. That's all, you know. All right. So then after that, we go backstage. Jack Perry is leaving Tony Khan's locker room. And what's his ass? Alex Marvez is like, hey, you reinstated? He goes, we're going to have a, We're going to have a conversation in the ring later tonight. And Alex Marvez is like, oh, okay, back to you. Yeah, okay.
Such a
he's
dork.
The dorkiest guy. The God worst. Bless him.
Yeah.
Well, he's just God bless. Now at this point, it's kind of like
he's our lovable loser, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's trying. Because yeah. Again, that's not a scoop. That's anyone with a microphone. You know what I mean? It wasn't anyhow. I digress, as Taz says. Okay, so then we go back in the ring, and Tim, help me out here. I don't understand what we did here, and we're keeping in kayfabe. Again, let's try to keep in kayfabe here for a moment. But we had the Double or Nothing gauntlet match.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as I understood the rules, bro, and I have a mashed potato for a mm-hmm. brain, so by all means, in the chat,
I feel like I have one
later
after
on,
watching this match.
Well, like, later, if you want to correct me, by all means, I'm open to it. Because as it was described to me, two people start and then people just keep going until there's a pinfall or submission. Which, but if why, you're trying to...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The weird thing to me was that, right? So, like, they would always... So, one started, two came in, they battled, and then when the new person came in, one left and three battled two, right? Until they battled, and then, like, four battled three. But, like... As you're pointing out, they weren't necessarily gone from the match. They were just hanging around outside and would intermittently come in seemingly at random for no reason. That's what bothered me. That was the thing I didn't understand. Was like, why are they just hanging out and then like able to jump in sometimes when they want and sometimes two at a time, but then they got to roll back out again and then bang it. Like it was weird.
Well, no, I think they were all in the match. No one was like, eliminated.
Yeah. So why were they all like, because at one point, like the three of them were just like, hanging out, waiting, well, watching two of them fight. I was like,
well,
what is going
I think
on?
That was, I think that was bad camera work.
Okay.
Yeah,
but even the people in the arena could see that. Like, what the fuck? It's weird.
Yeah. It's to weird. Me, what doesn't make sense, again, if we're keeping in kayfabe, is I looked at this later. It could have been up to 21 people. And I don't know where we left off at, right? Say we left off at 14.
Yeah.
If you're 15, like, I'm going to get this fucking shot. I'm going to go in there and I'm going
to
do this shit. And there's a pinfall.
Yeah.
What the fuck is that?
You didn't get your shot. Sucks to be you, well, pal.
Hey, Tony. Motherfucker, I'm in my gear. Give me something to do. I want to, again, in kayfabe, I need to get some kind of winner's bonus or title shot.
Next week, pal.
But because if you would have said, hey, we're capping this at 12. All 12 got to come in, and then whoever gets the first pinfall or submission.
Here's the thing. It's like a draw of numbers, and then, you know, you better hope for an earlier number because, like, the match might end before you get in it. I don't hate it.
Yeah, but even then, it's like, well, what the – you know, yeah. I would have preferred there's been, like, a set number. They all get in, and then it's a fucking who figures it out, right? Who gets a pinfall or submission.
Yeah.
And just don't tell us who the people are, because it was cool to see Ospreay and Kyle O'Reilly and Kenta and Jay White and, you know, Dante Martin, all these other people. Commander, I think, was also in it, too. So that was cool to just, like, get surprised, because Will Ospreay was not advertised. So his pop when he came out was fucking massive, as it should be. But yeah, so I don't know.
Jeffrey Sills' response for those folks who missed out because the match ended before they could get in says, sucks for you, bro. I guess you're wrestling on ROH.
Yeah.
There you go.
I guess. Yeah. Like,
I hear Impact's hiring.
So Will Ospreay gets the victory. So it looks like he's going to be taking on Roderick Strong at Double or Nothing. Now, so here's some fun. Boy. Let's go back to World's End. Let's take a quick side quest.
Okay.
Obviously, anyone who's watching this, listening to this, you know what happened at the end of this show. So we don't have to like spoil anything for you. But if we go back to World's End, the most diabolical devil faction is Adam Cole and the Undisputed Kingdom. Oh, shit. Okay. And look, breaking kayfabe, I get it. Adam Cole's leg did not heal maybe as quick as you thought. So cool it down to then, you know, burn it back up again, right? To push it to the moon, whatever phrase is that you want. Okay. Well, Roderick Strong beat Kyle O'Reilly at Dynasty. The big reveal in a clusterfuck was that Adam Cole can walk, which is cool. So then we're back, baby. We're all healthy. We're ready to go. And now they're just standing around as Roderick Strong goes, I've got a belt.
Well, we already have Ascension. Wardlow's already, you know, what I mean, yeah, staring them down, pissed off.
But then the biggest group now is the Elite. They just took out the goddamn CEO. So Adam Cole, cool, you wore a devil's mask. Who the fuck cares about that? You like, you look minimal.
And like, and I know he got up and walked, but like, it still didn't look like he was like, he's walking around all the time. Like, it still looked like I'm still resting quite a bit. So I'm like, still like, what was the point of this? Just still feel, yeah.
It just made them look so
small. I feel like
this
might have set him back a week and a half in rehab by doing this.
I mean, possibly, but it just, to me, made the group look super small in comparison to how we ended the night. And they were supposed to be the big, bad, you know, wolf of AEW faction. So
they're about to get passed up by the Learning Tree.
Good night. Let's talk about
that. It's
going to
be a faction. That's what's going to happen.
Well, here it is. So post-match, as I mentioned, Undisputed Kingdom, they go for a stare down with Will Ospreay, and that will elevate the group to a certain extent because Will Ospreay, everyone loves. Sure. So that gets some attention. Cool. Next up, we get Chris Jericho. And this could have been a backstage interview for 2 minutes, but he, I guess, wanted to be, I don't know, hooked on the crowd. Yeah. I don't know. And then Big Bill comes out and it's like, I'll do the Learning Tree.
I do like that we got rid of this song now, right? So we're not all doing the fucking singing the Jericho song, right? We transitioned out of that once he started doing the Lionheart thing, and now we didn't go right back to it, right? It's this other shitty song for the Learning Tree. And you know what? Look, if it's going to be a faction, then Big Bill works well in a faction, right? Better than he works by himself wandering around. You know what I mean? So, I mean, you know.
Uh-oh. Just dawned on me
ideas,
something.
Huh? Yeah.
Well, it just dawned on me something that we may have not realized in the moment that I just realized now. And if you realize this after I say it, again, I got cookie dough for brain.
Sure.
Big Bill goes to Jericho. Hey, I want to learn
pick
from you, right?
Me.
Pick me. I'll show you. Okay, great. Well, I'm tough. Who did Big Bill just kick to the curb then? Ricky Starks.
Yep.
Well, let's keep this train going. Who's Chris Jericho feuding with right now? Hook. Who was in Team Taz? Hook and Ricky Starks. Who didn't do anything because maybe
he
can't
put all this together. Yeah.
And keeps getting cut down by Chris Jericho. Taz. Huh? Are we getting a Taz 2.0 babyface version?
We could get the band back together because if the whole Don Callis family's falling apart, maybe Powerhouse Hobbs falls off.
That's
too,
what I'm saying.
Then we get Team Taz back together. I would fucking love it. With now Ricky Starks is like fucking the smooth baby rock, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Powerhouse Hobbs is fucking like muscle, like I'm going to beat your ass.
Mm-hmm.
And then Hook just being cool as fuck, right?
It's a babyface, right? Because the entire iteration of Team Taz was the loss to Sting, be the heels.
All of these now, teams right now, if we got a sudden reveal as Team Taz is back together one night to help him or something, and then they come out as a face team for at least a month, we're getting great pops off of this. Yeah.
Oh, Tim. Oh, motherfucker. You want to see me fucking jump through a goddamn roof?
I do.
Would be it right here, Tim. Oh, God, someone let me fucking write this. I might try to figure out Tony Khan's real number. Think of this. I'm just dead serious. Think of this. Next week, Big Bill, to show that he's the guy for Chris Jericho, takes out Taz. Now, obviously, Taz can't get physical, so we do a before the show started, Taz sitting there with a, you know, chair in his head, and he's bleeding or whatever, right? Big Bill even takes credit for it. He's like, see what I did to this old man, and then moves on, right? Doesn't even have to say that, but you get what I'm saying. All right, okay, right? So Taz goes away.
Every time he beats somebody up, he should be like, because I'm Big Bill and he's a big bitch. Just
yeah, leave him there. Right. But so he does that, right? Big Bill takes out Taz, boom, right? And then Learning Tree Chris Jericho is like, hey, see, I 1 week and this guy's been to heights he's never even seen in his entire career. Ricky Starks comes out and like, hey, motherfucker, we were tag champs. What are you talking about? He's just standing next to your old ass who I beat, right? Yeah. Well, 2-on-1. Okay, 2-on-1. Bum, bum, bum. They take out Ricky Starks. They stand tall. Then the next week, they come out there. Hook's music hits. They cower away. Hook stands there. I'm going to get you, right? Cool. Then Hook calls out Chris Jericho because he wants his title back. Bitch, motherfuckers, it's on. They walk out. As they walk out, Ricky Starks walks out. And then we get a 2-on-2 pull apart. Next event, pay-per-view or whatever. You know, I'm not in my head knowing where this is at as far as weekly. But the next big event, named AEW or pay-per-view event, tag team match. Jericho and Big Bill beat Ricky Starks and Hook. Nah, that fucking sucked, right? Then Chris Jericho's like, this tree needs to expand, right? We need to get more. Don Callis's family just fell apart, right? I think I'm going to get this Powerhouse Hobbs motherfucker. Ho-ho! Well, Powerhouse Hobbs has beat up Ricky Starks, and he hasn't beat up Hook yet, but he will. That's easy. I could easily do that. Always beat him up back in the day. Doesn't say it, but always beat him up back in the day, right? Okay, cool. So then you do a 3-on-2 where they're kind of beating him up. Powerhouse Hobbs, though, is like, I mean, what the fuck is... I just got out of the Don Callis family, and now we're just doing this again? Okay, right? And then the next time they're on television, they essentially go like, we're going to do this again. Come out here. And Ricky Starks is like, all right. And then it's a 3-on-2, right? The boom, boom. But Powerhouse Hobbs doesn't do anything. And Powerhouse Hobbs grabs Jericho, pulls him away, grabs Big Bill, actually does throw him out of the ring, but grabs Jericho again. Jericho pushes Powerhouse Hobbs. Powerhouse just looks to the entrance ramp with a fucking black towel over his goddamn head. Here comes motherfucking Taz, and he walks down, and they reform Team Taz, beating the fuck out of Chris Jericho. Huh? Yeah! That's what I'm fucking talking about.
Taz with the walkout.
Yes! You pay for that fucking music because it was a Kiss song, yeah. So you don't need to pay WWE. You can just do his own voiceover and then pay that for that Kiss song. Motherfucker. I might streak if that shit really happened. That'd be my favorite thing that ever happened.
There you go. Tony, if you want to see that, and of course you do, hook it up.
I mean, come on. It's Taz.
It's Taz. That would be fun.
Everybody, if you don't like Taz, I never want to meet you in person.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. But that would be my Will Ospreay.
He's not saying he won't meet you in person. He's just saying he doesn't want to.
Right. Yeah. That would be my Will Ospreay 8-star match, is fucking Team Taz reforming as a babyface group with Taz in the black fucking towel over his head, beating the fuck out of old man Chris Jericho. Specifically old man Chris Jericho. Fuck yeah.
I will say this for Jericho. We shit on him a lot, and he deserves a lot of it. And one thing he is, though, you know, we said, you know, you used to know, right? You used to be able to spot things and, like, read the room. The room is saying go away, but he read it, but he's leaning into it, right? He, like, trademarked this learning tree once he started realizing ahead of time, right? And he knew we were all going to be booing him out the fucking arena and was waiting for it, right? And he was, like, ready to lean into the storyline that he's doing. He's still fucking very good at that, right? At like, understanding the game, right?
And maybe it's not his call. That's one thing that I've started to maybe think on, is maybe it's TNT TBS saying Jericho is the big name that we know. He ain't going anywhere. And then they go, well, fuck, okay, well then... Ricky Starks next? Yep, Ricky Starks next. Hook after that. Yep, hook after that.
Yeah, and maybe it's just like, maybe Jericho doesn't. He's like, just give me new kids or something. Maybe, yeah, maybe, maybe, yeah. maybe, maybe.
Who knows? Goddamn, that would be the fucking shit. Speaking of Powerhouse Hobbs, he's in our next match for the IWGP World Championship. Champion John Moxley takes on, as mentioned, Powerhouse Hobbs. Some people didn't like this match. Those people are dumb.
Right.
This was fun. This was physical. It wasn't going to light the world on fire. You're not going to get kick out to two. It was two guys who loved to fight, fighting each other. Like, get the fuck on.
Some people did not like this match, and those people are not your people, okay?
Yeah.
Anybody listening to understand that. Yeah, no, I thought it was fine. Now, since, you know, we talked about this, I don't know that I like what Bryan Danielson did with the faking of the injury. Why? Because I don't know when to actually feel bad for somebody now, right? Or when to shut my mouth and show respect in the moment. Because now I don't know if Powerhouse Hobbs is really hurt. You know what I mean?
Like, I agree.
And I don't know whether to be like, you know what I mean? Get him, kick him in the balls. Or to be like, fuck, right? Shit. Let's take care of him.
Well, what I will say is, we've talked about this in the past. You know, I kind of don't want to know if it's real or not, except for the fact of this. If they are really hurt, let's say they're being taken out on a stretcher as the example, which God forbid that never happens.
I need a flag to know when it's real. You know what I mean?
Like, well, no, I don't. But I would just say I would feel bad if I was like, dude, great fucking job. And he's like, motherfucker, I can't. You know, that I would feel bad for that.
Right.
Because like you said, then we'll figure out that this means that or, you know, every signal will be fucking found out. So I don't even need to know. I would just feel horrible if I was like, dude, that was a great fucking job. And it's, well, just, actually, well, he's paralyzed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm reading this quick thing here because I was like, the Moxley match. Someone said they rated it a D+. They said it was the worst Moxley match. They said half of it was spent brawling on the floor. Oh, no. Was there no smack him on the chest? Arm drags. Yeah.
So if you were to walk into a bar and you saw a guy like John Moxley and a guy like Powerhouse Hobbs and they started fighting over something, what do you think that fight would look like?
Yeah. Or what do you want the fight to look like? I don't want Powerhouse Hobbs doing Wardlow bitch ass moves.
Yeah, I don't want him to Brock Lesnar himself trying to do a goddamn shooting star press. You know what I mean? Right. Yeah.
So after this match, Takeshita.
Wouldn't it be funny if look at, I'm just picturing John Moxley, right, holding the hands of Powerhouse, and Powerhouse climbs up the top ropes, does the drop onto his back, fucking legs, does a triple flip, and flip, like, that ain't going to fucking happen. But goddamn, that would be hilarious if we saw that.
Yeah, it would be.
You'd bust some lucha moves out, be like, goddamn, I didn't know it was fucking Powerhouse Holmes was fucking.
Yeah.
Goddamn, you could jump over the house.
Post-match, Takeshita walks out, signals he wants the next shot, and then the medics check on Hobbs. Double or nothing. It looks like Takeshita versus Moxley, which don't hate.
And that was fine. Like Takeshita just comes out and he's like, you know what I mean? Just no shirt on for some reason. Right. Just, you know, show off. Why not? Right.
You know what it kind of looked like to me, just cause I'm an idiot is, I already forgot his name. Cause I'm trying to say it right now. The fucking bad guy in Bloodsport.
Yeah.
You know, right? You know, where he's just like that, like he kind of looked like that to me. I like that. And then after this, we get a backstage segment where Shibata says he's going to take the FTW title from Chris Jericho next week under FTW rules. And then he mentions like, hey, Renee, I like the heart in your shirt. And she's like, well, so did I.
Yeah, she said, what do you say? It was like, those sprinkles make a heart or something.
Or the rhinestones.
The rhinestones. Yeah, those rhinestones make
a heart. Rhinestones make a heart. I like
what
that.
What do you say? He was like, that's cool or something like that. Or uh-huh. That's neat or something like that.
Yeah, and she's like, I did too. Here's the thing, though. So that comment was made a week or so ago. It was great necklace.
Yep.
Shibata better watch his ass because.
At what's her name?
John Moxley's girl.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, John Moxley catches wind that. You're hitting on his wife via Google Translator. He'll break your fucking phone and then your face.
Justin Flores in the chat, hanging out. What up, Justin? Chong Lee, he says.
Yes.
Chong Lee. Yes. Yeah.
Love Bloodsport. Side note, because she's not going to listen. My wife and her dad would watch Bloodsport the morning of Christmas every year. I thought it was awesome, but isn't that
That's
funny?
so great.
Isn't that
Yeah,
funny?
I don't even want to know the story behind it. You just
Yeah,
got to
I don't
roll with it. You're
either.
like,
And
all
I
right, I'm
never even
down. I'm
did.
here. Can I get the
I was just like,
invite?
that's great. That is great.
Like, even if I can't be here this year, we're watching it together on Netflix, right at the same time. We're going to get on a
Oh,
beer.
we've seen it a couple, a handful of times.
Yeah, is
All
Bloodsport
right.
considered a Christmas movie?
Why not?
It
Why not? All
is
right,
at
let's
in
get.
your house. There you
Yeah,
go.
it is. So let's get now to the main event segment. That was our main event match. This is the main event segment. Tony
Here we
Schiavone says,
go.
"Hey, Jack Perry." Jack Perry walks out. Everyone's singing, "Oh, Cry Me a River," because apparently wrestling fans can only sing in one type of song, which is fine. And he's like, "Hey, Jacksonville, I had some of my best days as a human in Jacksonville." And they're, "Yeah, you know." And he goes, "Yeah, when we started, or when they started this place, they said to change the world, and they did." Which, if you look at Kenny Omega's shirts, his shirts say "Change the World." Hint, hint.
There
And
you go.
then he says, "All right, Tony Khan, come out here." And Tony Khan walks his little ass out there, and they kind of look at each other, and he's like, "Huh?" And they shake hands. Yeah, Yakuza. And they, spit and boom, Blood Brothers. I'm kidding. And then they're like, "Hey," Jack Perry then gets a hug from Tony Khan, looks right to that motherfucking camera, and grins just like he did at Dynasty. You know he's up to something. And then he holds Tony Khan's hand up. He initiated the "let's do the fucking pose" thing. And then takes a fucking the microphone. It's Tony Khan in the gut. And Tony, God bless him, he forgets to sell the stomach. Like, he fell like he was dead. And then he goes,
Yeah.
"Oh yeah." And
Yeah.
then, like, then went, and again, hey, whatever he was thinking, sure, right? And so up until this point, what are you thinking, Tim?
Well, it all seemed like I kind of knew some of this was coming, right? Like I got the feeling they were gonna do something to Tony Khan when he called him out, right? And we're standing in the ring because I was like, he's a heel right now, right? Like I know we're all cheering for him, but yeah. So that was fine. Yeah, all of it so far, I'm thinking this is good. I thought it was weird, the timing of the stuff that followed, but I liked all of it.
Yeah, I honestly thought, I thought that the smile was going to be the cliffhanger of the
Right.
"watch till next week." So when they did the hands up thing, I kind of looked away, and then when I heard the smack of the microphone, I looked back and I was like, "Oh, they're doing it now. Okay." And then after he does smack him in the gut, the Young Bucks and Okada run down, and they're, "Jack, Jack, you fucking crazy person. You, this is the
What are
boss.
you
You
doing? Yeah.
can't do it."
Here, let us help you up.
Well, and to my point, I was like, okay, so like Jack Perry might be the crazy one
He's
in the group,
rogue,
right?
right?
Like,
Yeah. He's the
yeah, like you
pillman.
can't hold him in. He's,
Right.
that's why he will fight anyone, or maybe he won't, but he'll fight anyone. You know what I mean? And then, like you said, yeah, then they help up Tony Khan just like it would be for an EVP trigger.
Yeah, and the crowd's catching on, right? And they're like,
Oh, the crowd's catching
"No,
on.
yeah."
And to his credit, Okada goes, no. Stop, 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 stop.
Yeah,
Because
don't do
again,
that.
he also saw it. And then you think, okay, well, Okada is going to be the like rational one here because he's not a day one guy like these other
Right.
three, you know? So maybe he doesn't really have that strong of opinion on Tony Khan. Nope, that motherfucker says, "Throw him up. Throw him up there, motherfuckers." And so they get him in a fucking pile driver. Nicholas Jackson does,
It's the
you
Meltzer
know, the,
driver, isn't it? Isn't that what that is?
I don't know,
I
sure.
think
It's
that's what
the
it is. Let us know,
Tony
chat.
Khan driver.
Yeah.
Call it the Tony Khan driver if it was called the Meltzer driver. And he does the flippity flip and throws him down because if you flip before you do it, it means more. And so,
Right.
wa-boom! He hits him. And Tony Khan this time does fucking lay out like he is dead. Like he is laid out. I mean,
Well, he
damn near.
should be
Picture
from that,
perfect.
right? Yeah, he
Yeah,
should be.
picture perfect, right? And then they leave. So then this is the part, this is the only part that didn't make sense to me is, so they do that. The Bucks then start thanking the fans. They're thank you. Yeah. Hey, we're very sorry. Thank you so much. Thank you. Right.
Yeah.
But this is a couple beats. Get what I'm saying? Like it's a 1,000 before the
crowd hits everything. Right. Yeah. Or well, not the crowd, but
the wrestlers.
Right. Yeah. Before the backstage empties out, excuse me. Yeah.
Yeah. Because then they even go up to the entry ramp or entrance ramp and are like, hey, yeah.
Like why
so
the,
sorry.
Why the outrage didn't happen quicker. Like that should have happened almost immediately. You know, once they did the thing should have been like, what the fuck? Right. Like everybody should have hit the ring then.
Yeah. And so, yeah, then they leave and then, oh, now here they come, which that timing wasn't great. But then,
then Shad Khan came out even way later than that too, which I get, right? Like maybe he's doing something we're not really paying attention, then he's catching wind of something going on. But yeah, it was just odd. It was odd timing there.
I actually liked it because it, not that I liked it, but the shot of it was the very last thing we saw.
Yeah.
Was Mr. Khan looking at Tony Khan, and then we fade to black. So that was good. But yeah, the wrestlers getting like they should have chased them off, and then the. Right. Super Elite or whatever they're calling themselves, New Elite.
Yeah, they could have been in the crowd, like fucking.
Done it there or whatever, you know, shaking hands with fans and fans like are pushing their hands away or something.
Yeah.
But all of this went down. And Tim, after the punch to the gut, what did you think of the Young Bucks, Okada, Jack Perry?
Dude, I'm smiling. I sent you the. I love this so much. And all of the fallout that's been happening, right? The NFL is tweeting about it. All the news articles are talking about it. And look, if AEW is paying for that, great. Do more of this.
I don't think
get
they
your
are.
Name out there.
Yeah.
But it's, or if maybe Warner Brothers was like, hey guys, talk about this, right? I don't care.
I think they fell
it's
for it.
It's fucking great though. And I've had a lot of people who were AEW fans who fell off. And you know, we talked about this post MJF before they started figuring out this new storyline. There was some lulls in some stories, but if you're not enjoying this, you're not watching it, right? Like, because this story unfolding is a blast right now, and that Tony's taking it so serious, and he's wearing a neck brace, and like, I'm here for it. And everybody's like, ugh, like this is just copying the NWO. Good, that was a great fucking story. Like, if we can tell a new version of it in a new hip way, then great, guys. Guys, I don't know if you know this. Here's the reason I don't watch a whole lot of movies, because they're all the fucking same. There is literally a formula. You can get a fucking how to write a screenplay book, and it'll fucking tell you how to do this. Like, these are the same fucking stories. Of course, man. You just kind of change the characters and some of the details, and then it's, you know what I mean? You're moving on.
Yeah. I thought, so there's a couple things I thought. I thought that the, Tony Khan got involved. Hey, look here. Austin stunned McMahon. Kevin Nash powerbombed Eric Bischoff. And now we've got the Young Bucks took out Tony Khan. Every fucking major promotion in America has had the boss got beat up at some point in their history.
Oh, by the way, the NWO wasn't the first to do that either, I'm sure. So like,
yeah, exactly.
It happens.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the other thing that I thought of as I've seen the fallout or excuse me, the reaction from other people is we're getting old, Tim, because everyone was alluding to the fact that the Elite are like Evolution, and I want to be like, not the Four Horsemen. We're not.
Yeah, no.
Nope. It's the Elite. Nope. It's Evolution now.
Like, that's what I thought when I saw the walk up. Though it looked like, because especially with the Young Bucks loving to copy and make fun of, you know, tongue in cheek. But that like walk up with the suits, right? The four suits and the like and the slow walk. That was an Evolution shot. Now I know the Horsemen. We've seen them stand shoulder to shoulder and stuff, but like. I mean, that's what it felt like. It felt like that Evolution moment, right? When we first saw the four walk, you know?
Okay, and then breaking news, as we're looking here in the chat.
Yeah.
The Jags are three picks away. I can't wait to see if TK is wearing a neck brace in the war room. And for any international listeners, the war room is considered where the leadership of every team is making decisions on who they pick, if they trade that pick, all of those things. So it's referred to as a war room. Jeffrey Sill says TK is wearing a neck brace. And then I'm so
we
here
saw
for
him earlier
it.
Today. And they've been showing it.
Fuck yes. And then Jeffrey Sills, every single promoter in the nation has done it except no, Bill Watts got beat up. Yes, he fucking has. I saw it earlier today because I thought the same thing. Bill Watts did get beat up. I'll find it for you, Jeffrey Sills. I'll send it to you. He did. He was totally
again.
Him.
guys, again, pro wrestling is a common man and common person, like we'll say. Common man is like the general, right? Humanity. Mm-hmm. Fucking entertainment thing. One of the most relatable things is it's a lot of blue-collar fans. Blue-collar fans, by and large, if you know, 75% or more probably dislike their boss. So when you give them an outlet to live vicariously through somebody beating up their boss, surprise, we all love it. So yeah, they've all done this.
Or it's the dickhead who wants to push up against authority, and we're like, this guy doesn't do shit. He's fucking
right.
He's an asshole. So you can get right?
both out of it. Yeah, it's like that same thing. It's like, don't fucking it's like you don't deserve it. Yeah, exactly. Like, so there's a lot of tie-ins to that, right? It's relatable stuff.
Yeah. Ooh, okay. I'm
people are bosses, or they hate bosses, right? Or they like their boss. And
sorry, I'm still trying to find
over there. What is he looking at? Yeah, up?
Here it is. I'll send it to you right now in the fucking chat. I saw this earlier today. And so let me copy link. So that was our AEW Dynamite. One thing I did want to reference, though, is post Dynamite, we did get a promo from
the Elite,
the Super Elite. Mm-hmm. And the first thing that said is Jack Perry said, "You cost me 8 months of my career. That's what you fucking get." Again, he didn't say fuck me. He's like, "That's what you get." Then the Young Bucks, which are doing really good with this, are just doing the, "Hey guys, we wanted to get this back on track. If that's what had to happen, we're very sorry." But almost like
they
delay
somebody off, right? When they come out, like, listen, yeah.
You know.
Oh, they're playing the shitheel corporate clown gimmick amazingly. They're hitting all of, for being people who don't have a regular day job and a corporate job, they're hitting this mark extremely well, right? Like, from what we know, the Young Bucks, they've never had a job like that. You know what I mean? But they are nailing it. Good job on them.
Yes, definitely. I think I posted it here. Oh, no, I didn't. Damn it. Ah, I just posted it, but it didn't show up. Here, I know what to do. I'm going to keep talking. I'm going to buy me some time here because I'm getting this in the fucking chat.
I don't know if maybe it won't accept it in the YouTube chats. Maybe something.
No, it will. God damn it. It's going to accept it. If you're
trying to put a link, maybe it won't take a link. I don't know about that. Maybe you're right. But you all should join in with us each and every week when we do this. First of all, go to alleliterapup.com, right? Go there, subscribe. It's completely free. It will always be free. It just gets you an email to let you know when we're going live, because we typically do this Thursday nights. Sometimes we got to do it Wednesday, and sometimes we got to do it on an off time, but it's typically 7:15 p.m. Central U.S. Standard Time on Thursday nights, and then all the links are up there for, like, the threads, the podcasts, and the donate buttons, and all of that kind of jazz. And then
Well, be on the lookout. I recently did a video of my top five favorite AEW themes. Let us know what you think is your favorite AEW theme. See if I picked it.
And why is it probably Brian didn't.
It could be. Hey, that song doesn't suck, except for when we were at All Out 2022 and the fucking guy tried to sing it without a shirt on. What the fuck is this? One other comment I did
have. Yeah, and you went up and told him. No,
you're not. You're not going to do that. I mean, I wanted to.
Yeah.
Oh, one other thing, though, that I was going to say is my wife, you know, passively sees what's happening on Dynamite as she's reading her book in the living room. So they do all this stuff and they do the hands up at the entrance ramp. And she goes, "That is the most unassuming bad guy faction I've ever seen." And I was like, "Yeah, that's their appeal." Like, because if you know what I mean? Would you be afraid of any of them? Okada, maybe.
Maybe, but like, yeah. But
Jack Perry and the Young Boy, I'm like, what the fuck is these guys? Fine.
Yeah. Even Emily's like, I'm going to elbow one of these guys in the teeth. Yeah. Get a fucking Panera order and get out of here. Also with that, send us an email, aewrapup@gmail.com. That's an actual email or a video or an audio submission. We might play it right here like we did our senior European correspondent, Ash Hendricks, when we come back here next week for more talk. AEW's a blast right now. If you're not watching, not having fun, then you're missing out, and that's all we can say. But we'll be back here next week to talk to you more about it with all our new friends right here on the All Elite Wrap-Up.